Good evening. Let's again just commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so grateful that we can come before you and do thank you for your care for us, your kindness to us. And thank you, Father, that you use us, even weak as we are. May it be Christ that's lifted up and glorified. It's our desire to taste of him tonight, to hear from him. Enable us, Father, to hear your word and then to go out and live it out by faith. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Tonight, what I'd like to do is look at this passage and go through it like we normally do, just kind of verse by verse and explain the verses. But I want you to be thinking, what is it that we learn of the Lord from this passage? God's word is a revelation of who he is. And we see certain things of who our Lord is in this passage. It talks a lot about Joshua and his responsibility, what he must do, what God has called him to do, certain attitudes he's to have. But this passage is also about who our Lord is. And there's much that we can learn about him through this passage. As we get into it, it's talking about this man named Joshua. And I think we know a lot about Joshua. This is a very common passage, a common book. But just as a brief refresher as to who is this man, Joshua, what do we know about him? Well, the scripture starts talking about Joshua all the way back in Exodus chapter 17. It's one of the first times we see him mentioned. And we see there that he was kind of the commander of the armies in Israel. And he fought against the Amalekites there. And so he led them on. As scripture goes on, we learn more and more about Joshua. We see later on in Exodus that he was Moses' assistant, that he went up with Moses to the mountain of God, and he waited there with Moses. And then he would also go to this tent of meeting that was set outside of the camp that Moses would go to and meet with the Lord. And Joshua would spend time there as well when Moses wasn't there. We see in Numbers a more fuller picture of who Joshua was. He was a man that, from a very young age, worked with Moses. And in fact, Moses changed Joshua's name. It used to be Hosea, which meant salvation. And it was changed to Joshua, the way we know it, the Lord saves. And so he was given a new name. One of the things that sticks out about Joshua is the fact that he was a spy, right, that went into the land and spied it out with Caleb. He was one of those 12 men that went in. And, of course, the other 10 responded in doubt and disbelief and didn't trust the Lord that he would meet them in conquering the land. But Joshua and Caleb, it talks about how they wholly followed the Lord. They fully followed the Lord, and that was their desire, was to go in. They encouraged the people, and yet they didn't go in. And so the Lord said, all right, this generation isn't going to take the land. It's going to be the next generation. They're going to come in. And Caleb and Joshua, you're going to be allowed to go in because you were found wholly following the Lord. And so we find that out about Joshua in Numbers. We see also in Numbers that Joshua was dwelt by the Holy Spirit. And he was also commissioned first to just serve with Moses and publicly commissioned to do that. But then later on, we see in Deuteronomy, he was commissioned to actually lead the people. And before Moses passed on, the Lord said, Joshua's to be the one. So give him some of your authority. Let him kind of come along and start helping to lead. And so we see that at the end of Deuteronomy. So let's start looking at this passage here in Joshua chapter 1. We notice that this happens, this conversation that the Lord has with Joshua begins after the death of Moses. Moses has died, and he's mentioned several times here as the servant of the Lord. What a legacy to be known for. He served the Lord. He was God's man. And if you remember at the beginning, he didn't want to do that. Lord, send someone else. I can't talk. I can't lead. And yet the Lord said, no, you're going to do this. You're going to do this. All right, I'm going to get Aaron to help you do this, but you're going to do this. And so the Lord enabled him, and he obeyed. And so Moses is known as the Lord's servant. And so he passes on. We read at the end of Deuteronomy that the Lord takes him up to this mountain, Mount Nebo. Remember, he wasn't allowed to enter into the promised land because he did not regard God as holy in the sight of Israel. The Lord talked to him about speaking to the rock, I believe it was, and he hid it instead. And the Lord said, because you didn't regard me as holy, you didn't set me aside as someone that's different in your life, you won't go into the land with the people. You're not going to lead it. But yet God in his goodness says, look, I'm going to take you up to this mount and you're going to be able to look into the promised land. And so he does that in his mercy and grace to Moses. And so Moses goes to there, and then it mentions also in the end of Deuteronomy that he died and the Lord buried him. And they didn't know where that burial was, where Moses' grave was. And so the people mourn. It's been 30 days. And then we're told here in Joshua chapter 1, the Lord comes to Joshua and speaks to him. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. So, you know, now's the time of transition. Moses has passed on. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving them, to the people of Israel. And so he gives them this command. It's time to get up and get going, Joshua. You need to go over this Jordan. The river Jordan is what he's talking about here. And you're going to take the people of Israel with you. And notice, it's a land that the Lord is giving. It's not that they're just going to go and take this land, but this is a provision of the Lord. He's giving this to them. And it's going to be hard work. And it's something that's not going to come easy. They're going to have to fight for it, yet it's a gift. And it's something, though, that doesn't call for passivity. It's going to call for active faith. They're going to have to keep trusting and walking with the Lord all through this. We see later, because we know the rest of the story, what happens at Ai. And, well, actually at Jericho. They didn't follow the Lord wholly, and so punished, disciplined at Ai. And so, and yet this is a land that the Lord is giving them, and he's calling them to live in faith, to enter it in faith. And so they go, and Joshua's to lead them on. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. And then he talks about in verses 3 and 4 how Joshua, wherever he goes, is going to have victory. But it's interesting, though, that he does talk about limiting his victory. He's very clear as to the boundaries of where this land that the Lord is giving to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. And so he's telling them this, just the boundaries of this land. So interesting how the Lord places Israel right where they are. They're in a land bridge. And there's all kinds of trade that's going to go on in the centuries ahead. Trade between Egypt and the nations over in Asia Minor, over with Babylon. It's a crucial area, and it's a place that they're going to encounter a lot of people. And it's important because we know future later on. It's important because there are people that's a treasured people. They're supposed to be a light to the Gentiles, and they're in a hot spot. And they're going to be noticed where they are so that they can be a light to the other nations. And eventually the Savior is going to come and live there. So it's a very important place that the Lord gives and provides for them. But he mentions the territory there in verse 4. Now, I think it's also interesting how the Lord says, I've given this to you. He mentions it twice. It's a land I'm giving to you. It's a land I have given to you. And I think it's important to remember that because he's keeping Joshua humble. Joshua's going to go in, and again, they're going to have to fight for it. But it's not something they've necessarily earned on their own. Even though Joshua's going to be a very successful leader, and the Lord's going to promise to him in verse 5, no one's going to be able to stand before you, Joshua. But yet, it's only because God has given that victory, and because God is going to fight with him. And so And so this is going to keep Joshua humble. We also see that just as he promised to Moses, he was going to be with Joshua. Then looking on in verse 5, he says, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you." What wonderful promises there. I'll not leave you, not forsake you. Part of what this word here for leave means, it has the idea of to drop or to let go of something. Joshua's not going to be dropped by the Lord. He's not going to be let go. And so the Lord's promise to always uphold him there. Not only is that true, but he says, I'm not going to forsake you either. And the word there has this kind of understanding of leaving behind or departing. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to leave you behind, Joshua. I'm going to be there with you. Have you ever left something behind? You go on a trip or something and you just feel horrible. You can't believe, you know, whatever it was. Maybe it's something really important. I'm not a parent, but I know I've heard stories of parents leaving their kids behind certain places. Poor kid, scared to death. But it happens. And I'm not a parent, like I said, but the older I get and the more forgetful I get, I can understand. There's a lot on your mind and you just kind of forget. But the Lord's not going to be like that. He's not going to drop Joshua. He's not going to let him go out of his grasp. And he's not going to depart from him. He's not going to forsake him. And so, tremendous promises that the Lord gives to Joshua. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. And then the Lord's going to give Joshua three commands here. He repeats them, and they're very similar wording. There's a slight difference in the middle one, the second one. He says, be strong and courageous. And then in the second, it's only be strong and very courageous. And again, be strong and courageous. So let's take a moment to look at these commands for Joshua and the attitude that he used to have. What's very interesting is that this is a repeat of what the Lord has already told Joshua in Deuteronomy chapter 31. There, that's where Joshua was commissioned. And the Lord told Moses that Joshua is going to take the leadership, take the role as leader. And so what's interesting is that Moses is actually the one that says, be strong and courageous. He tells that to the people. Then he tells it to Joshua. And then he goes on to talk about how these people that are following now, they're going to go into this land and they're going to go after other gods. And the Lord says that, actually. He speaks to Moses and tells Moses, this is what's ahead of these people. And it's interesting there because he talks about they're going to go into this promised land and there's going to be great abundance. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. And they're going to go after these other gods. And it's like what he's saying there is they're going to be prosperous and it's going to lead them away from me. Their prosperity leads them away from the true and living God. And so he warns, the Lord warns the people and tells the people this is what's going to happen. And he knows our hearts. The Lord knows we have hearts that are deceitfully wicked. And oftentimes, rather than seeking the giver, we seek the gift. And for the people of Israel, that's what happened. They started having this prosperous way, and it actually led them away from the Lord. And they started seeking other gods. And so, you know, I'm sure you've heard it said of ourselves. I believe it was Calvin that said this, that we are idol factories. We generate factories. We are prone to leave the God we love. And all over, we hear different messages saying life is found in dot, dot, dot. Life is found in relationships or ministry or job or your status. And yet, we must keep coming back to the fact life is found in Jesus Christ. And yet, we are prone to wander just like these people, the people of Israel. And so may the Lord just cause everything in our life to taste bland, so that we taste him, see him as the good, and he will do that as we seek him. And again, he knows our hearts just as he knew the hearts of the Israelites and what would happen to them. But imagine if you were Joshua and you heard that, how maybe discouraging that might be to know that the people you're leading are going to turn away from the Lord. And yet he's told to be strong and courageous. Then turning back to Joshua chapter 1, in verse 6, he says, "Be strong and courageous, for you will cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to your fathers to give to them." I think it's worth noting two things here in this verse. The first is that Joshua is going to be the leader, and so he's going to need to be strong and courageous. You shall cause this people to inherit the land. And so that's a difficult job. Like Pastor was saying, we're talking about millions of people that he's in charge of, in charge to lead on, and he's going to need to be strong and courageous for this task. But I also think it's important to note in this verse how it's something that God has promised to his fathers. Joshua is a book of fulfillment. God had promised to Abraham over 450 or so years, even more. He had promised, "I'm going to give you this land to your descendants." And now it's happening. It's coming to pass. And Joshua has a part to play in that. He has a role to play in that. And the same is true. God has a plan for the world where it's all going. And oftentimes we get discouraged because we focus on the little part. But we need that big picture view, the grand scheme of things, God's plan. We need to see that. We need to realize that God is working towards something. And just like Joshua was invited to be a part of that, we too are invited to be a part of God's plan. And we know that one day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And of course, there's those of us that will willingly do it now. And then there's those that will one day be forced to do it. They'll realize their eyes will be open. It'll be too late for them. But that's where everything's going. It's heading to this, where Jesus will establish his kingdom here on this earth. It's already been started, but one day it will come to pass. And the big question is, for us, is will we now bow the knee, or will we in the future bow the knee? And so the Lord is working out this plan, and Joshua is to be a part of that. And so he says, "Be strong and courageous." In verse 7, he says, "Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go." I think it's so interesting how God's word is described here. It's kind of like a path. And Joshua is encouraged, don't turn away. You're on this path. Obey it. Don't turn to the right hand. Don't turn to the left. Stay in this path. And as you go, there will be success. It's kind of like we're radios, and we're radio antennas. And there's all these kind of messages out there saying, here's how you live. Live for this. Live for that. Live this way. Live that way. There are all these religions that are saying how to live, but there's only one true way. And that's the word of God. And that's because God has spoken that. And the question is, what are we tuning into? Are we tuning into the word of God and choosing to live by God's word? Are we listening to these other messages that are not right, that lead to destruction? God's word leads to life, to success. And I'm not preaching the prosperity gospel here. God defines success in different ways than we as mankind do, but it's a way that leads to success, a life with Christ. And so he's encouraged to not turn from it to the left or to the right. In verse 8, "This book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that's written in it." I think it's so interesting here how God's word, it's kind of like a breath mint in Joshua's mouth. It's supposed to stay in his mouth. So everything, well, you know how a breath mint works. It freshens your breath so that the air coming from your lungs out of your mouth is fresh. In the same way, God's word is to touch everything that comes out of Joshua. Everything that he speaks should be seasoned with God's word, should have that breath, freshness of God's word. It's not to depart from Joshua's mouth. In fact, he's to meditate on it. So what is meditation? What's being talked about here when it talks about meditation? Well, it's not the form of meditation where you empty your mind. How do I know this? Well, notice what the verse says here. Meditate on it day and night. It's the word of God that's to be what you meditate on, what you think about. And so what's the purpose of it? Meditation does have a purpose. It's not just to make us feel better. It's not to numb our mind. It's not any of that. It's, what does it say here? It's that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Meditation should lead to obedience in our life of the word of God. It's not just something where it's not a mental exercise. It's to have fruit. It's to bear fruit in our lives. And so that's what Joshua is to do. It's to be in his mouth. He's to speak it. But he's also to meditate on it and to be careful to do it because he's meditated on it. And so he said, then your way will be prosperous and then you'll have good success. Then looking at verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So here we come to this third command to be strong and courageous. Again, just think about what it would have been like for Joshua to take on the leadership of this great nation. At this point, he's getting up there in age. He's definitely over 40 because that's the number of years they were in the wilderness wandering before entering the land, and he was already helping Moses before that. So he's up there in age, but yet he's been given a tremendous task, a tremendous responsibility. And if anyone of you have been in that role of leadership, you know there's a great temptation to be afraid or to be dismayed or discouraged in your leading. And yet Joshua's told, no, don't do that. Don't have those attitudes. Rather, be strong and courageous. And why is that? Well, it's because the Lord promises his presence in Joshua's life. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. It doesn't matter if you're going to go before a big city like Jericho. It doesn't matter if you're going to go to another city like Ai and you face defeat once. You're going to have my presence with you. I will be with you wherever you go. And so what a wonderful promise. It's not just a promise for Joshua. I'm sure you all are reminded of that promise in Hebrews chapter 13, where we're promised the same thing. And not only that, but we're given the Spirit of God to live within us so that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And he will be with us wherever we go. Now, at the beginning of this message, I mentioned what are some things that we see about the Lord in this passage? What do we learn about him, about our Lord, from this passage? Well, there are three key things that I want to point out. There's probably more, but these are three things that stood out to me as I was looking at this passage. The first one is the fact that the Lord is faithful to his word. Again, the Lord had promised to Abraham over 400 and so years, over 440 years. And now it was being fulfilled. It took several years, but God's timing was perfect. And so God fulfilled his word. And now it was time for that land to be given to the descendants of Abraham. This should encourage our faith as well to know that God's word is true. He is faithful. This past fall, I took a class. I'm doing online classes to get a master's degree. And took a class on Old Testament theology, and basically it was just tracing themes that run through the Old Testament into the New Testament, really the whole scripture, themes about who the Lord was. And one of them was the promise of God, how God makes a promise, and he's faithful to fulfill that. And even at the very beginning, when we fell, we disobeyed the Lord, he made a promise that there was going to be that seed that would crush the head of the serpent. And his heel would be bruised. And yet that was promised way back then. We see the promise to Abraham. Your descendants are going to be great. You're going to get this land. And through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And so it just keeps growing and growing. And the promise gets clearer and clearer until it's finally realized in Jesus Christ. And so God is faithful to his word. I encourage you, if you're struggling in your faith, look at the word of God. I was so encouraged to do that study to realize, yeah, God is faithful to his word. And his word is true and it's going to be fulfilled. And so God says, God speaks, and that's what happens. And so my question for you then is, what is the Lord saying to you? And how is he calling you to trust him? What is he calling you to trust him with? And do you really believe that God is faithful to his word? The second thing that we see about the Lord is the fact that he's a good encourager. He comes alongside of Joshua and he's encouraging Joshua. Joshua, be strong. Be courageous. I'm going to give you this land. You're going to have to go in and lead the people, but I'm going to give it to you. Something the Lord's been teaching me over the past several months was how he's a good encourager. There'll be times when I just honestly come to the Lord and say, Lord, I just need some encouragement. And there are certain times when he knows I really need it. There's other times when I don't really need it, but he's good to provide it when I really do need that encouragement, whether it be just a friendly reminder from someone, whether it be a gift. One day I was really tired, and so I got up and was trying to walk around. It was mid-afternoon, so needed to press through and finish strong with the day. And so I went out to the office to visit my sister, and she works over at the school with me, and was about to leave, and she's like, oh, yeah, in the refrigerator there's this drink. Someone came by and left this drink, and one's for you. And that was just such an encouragement. I needed that. I just a little pick-me-up, you know, to get through. And the Lord's good to do that. When we really need it, and if we cry out to him, he'll provide the encouragement we need. And so he comes alongside of Joshua, and he encourages Joshua. The third thing that we see, and we just highlighted here at the end of verse 9, is the fact that the Lord promises his presence. And that was another theme that I looked at in that class on Old Testament theology, that God time and time again longs to be with his people and to show himself to his people. He came and he walked in the garden with Adam and Eve to fellowship with them. And then that was kind of broken. And yet God came to the Israelites, said, build me a place where I can come and dwell among you. Incredible. He had never dwelled with any other people as far as we know, recorded in inspired word of God. And yet he came to the Israelites, said, build me a place where I can dwell in your midst. And then you're going to have to live a little different because I'm in your midst. You're going to be a holy nation for me. And you just see time and time again, God's promising his presence time and time again. And then we come and we see that finally God himself comes to reveal himself to us in the person of Jesus Christ, the God-man. And he shows us himself, Jesus, full of grace and truth. And so we see that. But then Jesus leaves, but he doesn't abandon us. He gives us his spirit. Again, a promise of his presence. And we just see this wonderful aspect of who our God is. It's part of him that he longs to be with his creatures, to be present with them. And so he's good to do that. He desires to be with us. Incredible. And so these are some aspects of who we see the Lord in this passage. And so in closing, let me just remind you those points, three points where Joshua was to be strong and courageous. He's going to need to be strong and courageous because he had a role to fulfill in God's plan. God had something, a purpose, and yet he still needed to be strong and courageous. He was going to need to be strong and courageous in order to obey God's word. How important that we be strong and courageous to obey God's word. It's hard. It's difficult when others are telling us to to not do it. It can be hard at work when your boss is not sympathetic to doing things that are honest and true, that are right before the Lord. It's difficult to be strong and courageous, and yet there's that choice. Are we going to obey the Lord? Are we going to follow His word and live for Him in the workplace? And so Joshua's told, be strong and courageous to obey God's word. And then the third one is, he's going to need to be strong and courageous to have this attitude, these attitudes here, so that he would not be overcome by fear and discouragement. God was going to be with him. God promised his presence. And he was going to need to be strong and courageous to not submit to the fear that could come or the discouragement that may come along the way. Let's close in prayer. Father, you know each one here this evening. You know what they face, the challenges that are ahead of them, even this week. Father, I pray that you would enable us to now live out your word. And thank you for your promise of your presence, just as you were with Joshua. Thank you that you long to be with us. Enable us, Father, to walk in accordance to your word. I can't do it on my own, and these here can't do it either. We need you, Father. We are totally dependent upon you. So enable us, Father, for your glory. It's in your name we pray. Amen.